Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Every chapter,
every chapter, every verse, in every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Every promise,
every promise in the book. Every chapter, every verse, in every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Amen, amen. God bless you, saints. Do you believe in those words in the song? Amen. God promised that every promise in the book, it is yours, it belongs to us, it's all up to us because God is faithful. He will never let His word pass without fulfilling it. He promised that if my people should humble themselves and call upon me, that He will hear from heaven. He also said if we turn away from our wicked ways, God is going to hear and answer His promises unto us. Amen. God promised us. He is faithful. He will do His word as He promised.
Amen.
Amen. If there was a man that could break his word when he promises something, but he never keeps his word, you would never trust such a man. But because God always keeps His word, that gives us grounds for us to trust in Him fully. Amen. That whatever He says, we can rest upon that.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that tonight? I am persuaded that He keeps His promises. He says in the Bible that where two or three people will meet in my name, I will be amongst them.
Amen.
And I am believing that tonight that God is even here amongst
Amen.
Us. Right now as we are gathered here,
Amen.
My senses are not declaring it. I cannot see it with my eyes. I can't feel it. But God promised. That is
Amen.
Good enough for me, and I hope that is good enough for you too.
Amen.
Just before we go into the word, let's just all go into prayer just for a short while to commit the service to the Lord that He might do something for you tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, this evening. We are thankful that You are merciful. We thank You, Father, that You have come down, Lord, and be amongst us, O God. You promised, Father, that where two or three are gathered in Your name, You will be amongst them. Lord, we have gathered tonight, Lord, not with any other motive, but Father, that we may worship You, Lord. Father, we have gathered that we may hear from You. Lord, I pray that You would come down and make good Thy be glorified, O Father. You know the requests of Your children. Your word is sharp, Lord. It can discern the very thoughts of the heart, Lord. May You discern them, Lord, and provide for their needs this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in the Bible to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 to 8, rather. James, chapter 1. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's turn again to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. The Lord speaking. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. These scriptures have been a very strong foundation for me. You know, sorry, saints, you may sit down. You have to bear with me because I'm only used to speaking while we are sitting in the house, so I never ask people to sit down. So you may sit down, yeah. But reading these scriptures from the book of James, it says that when you ask anything of the Lord, you must not ask wavering. You must not be double-minded about it. It's been a very bedrock of my faith that whenever I come to the Lord, I have to come up to him with one mind. It's always been a question in my mind that many times you find a believer that struggles from year to year to year. And maybe it's just one issue that they are struggling with. And they pray about it, but there seems like as if God is not answering their prayer. And many times you wonder, why is God not the same like he used to be? Because we know that God answers prayer. We know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we come to him and ask him, he must answer us, because this is one of the promises that God made in his Bible. But you find that with believers, that they ask many times and there seems to be there's no answer from the Lord. And I've always wondered, why is it so? Until I came to know myself that it isn't anything wrong with the Lord as such. Because God is faithful. In the Bible, it speaks of him that he will perform every one of his word. He is faithful. If you ask him, he is more than willing to give what you are asking. Unless if you are asking amiss, somebody could be asking to say, I want to win the lotto next week. I'm not sure if God will answer that kind of a prayer. But many times you are asking for healing in your body. And the promise is there. God had said, by my stripes you are already healed. But you find somebody is not getting healed and you wonder what is going on. And I found out that it isn't that the Lord has changed. The Lord has not changed. He is still the same. But the problem many times is with us in that when we go to ask anything from the Lord, we never go the right way to him. We never approach him with a steadfast mind. But instead what we do, we go with a double mind. Many times we approach God with a backup plan, like somebody who's looking for money maybe to pay rent or something and comes up to me, say, Brother Wilmo, can I have 50 euro? But you have a backup plan. If Brother Wilmo doesn't give me 50 euro, I'm going to go to Brother Pele. So that's your backup plan. But that might work in the world, but with God, things don't work like that. When we approach God, we must approach him with one mind, knowing that my help comes from the Lord. But this is where the problem is with many of us, is when we approach God, we always have a backup plan with us. This is where James is saying, a double-minded person. Because to be double-minded is to have two minds. One of the mind is saying, I will go to God and ask for help. But then you're saying, the other mind is saying, what if it doesn't work? And if you approach God with that, like that, you might as well not even approach him. Because the enemy will say, what if it doesn't work? You better make a plan. And you say, oh, I'll go to God and ask him that he may help me. But if it doesn't work, I will go to Brother George to ask for help. It means there that you are actually putting more trust in Brother George than in God. Because you are asking God first and say, if it doesn't work, I will go to Brother George. That's a backup plan. And that's where more of your trust is. So you are actually trusting in Brother George more than in God. And if you come like that to God, you are not going to receive anything from him. It's just like a child that would come to a parent. And let's say our daughter Hannah would come and say, Daddy, I want a violin for my birthday. And I say to her, well, I will buy you a violin. That word alone is good enough for her. That's why the Bible says, unless we are like these little ones, we cannot inherit that kingdom. Once the father says to the child, yes, I will do this for you, that's enough for that child. You'll find that child will go around telling everybody, my daddy is going to buy me this. Because they have complete trust in your word. The child doesn't go to daddy and say, I want a violin for Christmas. Then makes another plan to say, well, if daddy doesn't get it for me, I'm going to have to ask something from mommy or something. No backup plans. They just come, I want this. They have a single mind. And whatever you tell them, they believe it like that. That's how we must come to the Lord. But many times we want to come with another mind, just like a backup plan. And you find that when you come to the Lord like that with a backup plan, that many times that backup plan is not a godly plan. It's something that is contrary to the word of God. It normally involves things that are contrary. Let's say a man that is praying to God for a job, and you are praying, oh Lord, may you grant me a job. But then you have a backup plan. What if he doesn't give you a job? What are you going to do? He's going to make up a plan to say, yeah, if he doesn't give me a job, I'm going to be playing lotto on the side, just in case I win some money. You see, that's how many times we make a plan like that. And you could be asking for a promotion at work, but at the same time, you're asking for a promotion from God, but you're going to the boss of the company to backbite your team leader so that he is demoted and you can take his place. That's how we make these backup plans. Or it could be a brother that is single and is looking for a wife, praying to God for a wife, but many times is on the internet looking at the dating sites to find a wife there. I don't think if you come to God that way that you are going to receive anything that you are asking from him. When you come to him, you must believe that he is going to give what you are asking. With one mind and being steadfast. Or it could be a sister that is seeking asylum in Ireland. And she's praying about it, seeking God to say, Lord, please, may I find favor in your sight so that I can be granted this asylum. But then if she comes with a backup plan to say, what if they don't give me the asylum? Well, I better make up a plan, see. And then that plan, many times, it's not in the will of God. She's going to look for somebody, an Irish man, to have a baby with. And that thing can become a problem for you tremendously in your life. So that's where the danger is when we approach God with a double mind. Is that the double mind part of it, the backup plan that we make, it's never godly many times. It's something that will always put us in trouble. Amen. So when we come to God asking for anything in prayer, we must have a steadfast, a straight mind, knowing that my help is going to come from God, and God alone is going to grant me my help. This reminds me of one king. His name was Jeroboam in the Bible. You find him in the book of Kings. Jeroboam, I'm sure some of you know him. He was the first king of Israel after the Lord had divided the kingdom into two. Because at one point, after Solomon was king, in his old days, he loved many women, Solomon, and he went against the word of God, and he was sacrificing to other gods and so forth. And the Lord was displeased with Solomon, and he said he was going to take away the kingdom from Solomon for doing that. But he said, for the sake of David, I'm not going to do it. Instead, I would take away part of the kingdom from your son and give it to someone else. And there was a man in those days called Jeroboam. He was one of the mighty men of Solomon, a man of valor, the Bible says. He was very good to the point that Solomon appointed him to be over the workforce in the kingdom. And the Lord must have been pleased as well with Jeroboam, because we find that the Lord sends a prophet to Jeroboam to say, you are the one that's going to be the king of Israel. I'll give you 10 tribes. I'll take them away from Solomon's son. So he was a good man, Jeroboam, and God gave him a promise that if you follow my commandments as David did, I'll build you a sure house. So you find Jeroboam is just somebody in the kingdom, a mighty man. He's not a king. And God gives him a promise to say, one, I'll give you the kingdom, or take away from Solomon and give you. And then if you follow my word, I will build you a sure house. By that he meant that this kingdom will be yours forever and ever, as David was given a kingdom by God. So that's all that Jeroboam had to do. He just had to wait for God to fulfill the promises. And it did happen, because when the prophet came to him, Solomon was still alive. And Jeroboam, there was problems then when Solomon knew it. He wanted to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam fled instead and went to Egypt. And he stayed there until Solomon was dead. Then he came back and he never did anything, Jeroboam. He was just there, and the people went to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, to say, please, can you lighten the Lord? It's too heavy for us. But the young man said, no, I'm going to make the yoke heavier than my father's. And the people rebelled, the Bible says. They rebelled against Rehoboam. And then they came to Jeroboam and said, you will be our king. He never did anything for the word of God to come to pass, which God had promised him. And you find him now, he's king over 10 tribes. God had already performed what he had promised to Jeroboam. He was just waiting to make his house sure. So all Jeroboam had to do in his life as king was to continue to follow the commandments of God as God had commanded him. But Jeroboam as well, like many of us, he developed a fear in his life. He just developed a fear that what if God doesn't do like he promised? Because if you find in the if we just turn in the Bible there to read about Jeroboam, so 1 Kings chapter 11, he developed a fear to say, what if the people turn against me? But God had already told him, I will build you a sure kingdom. There was nothing else he had to do but just to keep following the word of God. But Jeroboam was like, what if the people rebel against me? Let's quickly, 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 26. So this was after God had given Jeroboam the kingdom. He was already king over 10 tribes. Rehoboam had one kingdom that God had given him. And in verse 26 it says, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. He was no longer sure whether God will keep his word. Yet God had already performed a greater part of the word that he had promised. And he says in verse 27, if these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So that was an insecurity in his heart. He wasn't sure anymore whether to keep trusting on the word of God. Then he saw, as a result of that, he developed a fear, the people will turn against me, and then they will kill me. And that caused him to have a double mind concerning the word of God, which he had promised. Because if you follow the story of Jeroboam, in verse 28, it says, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto the people, now, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin unto the people. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. So that's really a sad thing, in that he just developed this fear, people are going to turn against me. So he had to develop a kind of a plan, a political plan, a backup plan, that if God doesn't perform his word, that he will give me a sure kingdom, then I'm going to put in a plan to make the people not to turn their hearts against me. And his plan was an evil thing that he did, in that he built these two calves and put them in the kingdom and made the people to sin. And the people went to worship those two calves. And this sin became a great sin even until this day. Every other king was measured against that yardstick. That this king did evil in that he followed the ways of Jeroboam. So it was a political plan that he put in place. Because he was fearing that maybe God will not perform his word. Which is really a very sad thing. So he didn't believe in the word of God. He didn't fully trust in it. Amen. But unfortunately, if Jeroboam had only trusted in God's word, if he had just gone back to the beginning where the prophet had come to him, it would have dispelled all his fear because the word had already been spoken by the prophet. That's all he had to go back to. But Jeroboam developed a plan and he put that plan and it became a sin. And to show that he was double-minded, because years later things became hard for Jeroboam. His son became sick. And instead of him following these gods that he had built, he knew it was wrong. Amen. You find him now saying to his wife, disguise yourself, go up to Shiloh and consult with the prophet of the Lord there. He knew there was a prophet of the Lord there, the one that had told him that God will give you this kingdom. So Jeroboam sends his wife there and it never worked well for Jeroboam. The Lord said, only that son of yours that is sick is the only one that will be buried in the grave. Amen. The rest of them will be killed and eaten by dogs. They will not be buried in graves. And it actually happened, showing that it is a bad thing not to follow the word of the Lord. Double-mindedness will always lead you to bring some plan into place which is not according to the word of God. Another king that I could speak of now is King Hezekiah, who he was quite the opposite of Jeroboam. King Hezekiah was steadfast in his dealings with the Lord until he got a testimony in the Bible that there was none like him before and after him of all the kings of Judah. Because King Hezekiah, he trusted fully in the Lord. Just in 2 Kings chapter 18, we read about King Hezekiah there. 2 Kings 18, from verse 5. Verse 1 speaks about how he came to be king. But verse 5 says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and so forth. So this was a king that was quite the opposite of Jeroboam, in that he trusted fully in the word of the Lord. Whatever the Lord had promised him, he clave unto that. Whereas Jeroboam, instead of cleaving to the word of the Lord, which God had promised him, he developed other means to try to secure himself. Yet the word of the Lord is more secure than anything that we can ever think of. Amen. So this was Hezekiah now. I just want to look at one part of his kingship, which is found in chapter 19 of 2 Kings again. Hezekiah, when he became king of Judah, because the kingdom had been divided, there was Judah and there was Israel. And Israel was the bigger portion with 10 tribes. But as soon as Hezekiah became king, there was another king of Assyria who came and laid siege on Israel. And after 3 years, they took away that kingdom and took the people into captivity, meaning that Judah was left only in the hands of the Jews. That was the only kingdom they had. The rest of it was taken away by this king of Assyria. So if you look at the situation Hezekiah was in, he was under pressure, more pressure than Jeroboam was. Because this king of Assyria, after he took Israel, he also came and laid siege upon Jerusalem, which was the headquarters of Hezekiah's kingdom. But Hezekiah, because he trusted in the Lord caused a rumor to go through the camp of the king of Assyria, and he went back to his kingdom. But he never gave up on trying to take away Jerusalem. He came back again which is where we are now in 2 Kings chapter 19. He came back again and laid siege upon Jerusalem to try to take it. And Hezekiah was isolated. There was nowhere else he could go for help. But because Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, something, the Lord did something for him. 2 Kings 19, verse 14. So this king of Assyria, Sennacherib was his name. Let me see if I'm reading in the right place. 19, verse 14. He came and laid siege upon Jerusalem, and he sent a letter with one of his messengers to Hezekiah. And this is what the letter said. And it says in verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger and read it. If you go back just a few verses, from verse 10 of that same, this is what the letter actually said. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands. By destroying them utterly, shall thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the children of Eden, which were in Telasa? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Apad, and the king of the city of Shepavim, of Hena and of Iva? So this king was actually boasting of the things that he had done, which is what the enemy does to us many times. Let's say the doctor tells you that you've got cancer, and they will not stop reminding you that this kind of cancer is incurable. It has killed so many people in Ireland this year alone. This is what the enemy always does. He boasts of the things that he has done to you to try to put some fear in you. And when you become afraid and you are filled with fear in your heart, then you start to make the wrong kind of decisions. You start to lose your trust in the Lord, and he tries to weaken you that way. This is what this king was doing, and he actually wrote it on a letter and gave to his messenger and said, go and give this to Hezekiah. So that's where we were in verse 14, that Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messenger, and he read it. But I like the attitude of Hezekiah. He is not like many of us. When we receive something like that, let's say you receive a letter from the bank that your house is being repossessed. None of us here has got a house yet. But you receive a letter from the government department that we have decided to cancel your asylum papers. We are sending you back to Africa. What will you do in those circumstances? You know? Or you receive a letter, your job is finished today. What are you going to do? Quickly you start making backup plans to see, well, can I quickly go to England? Maybe I'll find a job there, or find another place where there is not even a church to go to. Yeah? That's what we normally do. But Hezekiah was not such a man. When Hezekiah read this letter, and it was true what was in the letter, the kings of Assyria had destroyed all the other nations around them. They have utterly destroyed them, and they had taken over people and put them into captivity. So it was true what this king was threatening with. Yeah? But Hezekiah, when he read it, he didn't do what the enemy expected him to do. Because the enemy expected him to go into a panic mode and start making wrong decisions. If it had been Jeroboam in this place, I'm sure he would have sent emissaries and ambassadors to Egypt to say, can you help me? Can you send chariots to help me from the king of Assyria, or things like that? Or maybe he would have called all his army to say, let's come, let's fight and destroy these enemies that have come around us. But Hezekiah was not like that. I like his attitude in that. Amen. If you read from verse 14, it says, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. Amen. He knew where his help comes from. Amen. This was not a man who was double-minded. Amen. He knew exactly that, yes, even though this man has sent me a letter to threaten me, I'm going to the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to show it to the Lord. Amen. Let's just read there what he did. He took this letter to the house of the Lord. He went up into the house of the Lord and spread the letter before the Lord. Yeah? And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the Lord God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heavens and earth. Is this a man that is panicking? Instead of going like we would do if we remember to bring our petitions to the Lord, just you kneel down and say, oh Lord, what look what this letter is saying. They are saying I will be deported tomorrow and things like... No, no, no. Hezekiah went before the Lord. And instead of bringing his petition first, he started to worship the Lord. This is a man who knew his purpose, because that's what God put us here for, to worship him. So that's what he does first. And worship would always bring the presence of the Lord. And the Lord would always draw near when he sees his son worshiping like that, especially under the circumstances that Hezekiah was in. So he goes before the Lord and he worships him and tells him that you are king, only you. And in verse 16 he says, Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, thy eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. This was a man who knew where his trust was. Instead of now saying, look, he's threatening to take away my kingdom. No, 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 no. He didn't go to the house of the Lord for that. He says, look, this man is trying to defy your word. Because God said, by your stripes you are healed. So if you receive a letter to say you have incurable cancer, it's in an advanced state. Instead of coming to say, oh Lord, I'm going to die, what's going... No, 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 Hezekiah would come and say, look, Lord, these doctors are trying to defy your word. Because your word says I'm healed, and they are saying that I have incurable cancer. This was the attitude that Hezekiah took. Yeah? Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods. He really knew the word, this man. That those other gods that other people were trusting in, they are not gods. So you find a man that has cancer and they've got millions and millions of dollars. They can afford the treatment, but they will still die. And the doctors will tell you that despite anything, that whatever we can do, we have the best machines and so forth, but maybe you can't afford them. We can't treat you. You go and say, oh Lord, look what this man is saying. That these other people died despite all their money. But what is money? What is money? We know you. You promised that you would heal us. So that's where we must put our trust in. So this is a man that had put all his trust in the Lord, Hezekiah was. And he says, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. They have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech you, save thou us out of his hand. Save us out of his hand, the hand of this terrible king, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even you only. So you see, even his objective in praying, it wasn't only so he can be saved and then they can eat, I don't know what they ate in those days, and enjoy their life and so forth. But he was praying to God to say, save us, so that all the other nations may know. Everything that he was requesting this man was not for his own comforts. It was just for the glory of God. Amen. Just when you receive something like that from the doctor, you are going there to say, Lord, heal me so that the people may know that you are a living God. Amen. And this is a man who came to God without a backup plan. You never read anywhere to say Hezekiah first sent emissaries to Egypt to look for help and then went to the house of the Lord. No. His first reaction when he read this letter, he remembered God. Amen. Which is unlike most of us. When something comes our way, many people, they trust in their phone. Something comes, bad news comes in, they just take out their phone out of there. They don't know who to phone, but they just take out the phone and it makes them feel comfortable. Instead of trusting in God. Then when they hold the phone, they start thinking, well, now I'll ring Brother Mike. Hello, brother, please, can you help me with that? That's what you are trusting in. But what if that day Brother Mike has his phone on silent and you need help? But God never has his phone on silent. He's always listening out for his children. That's why when we come to God, we must come with a perfect faith, believing that he's going to help us, not wavering like Jeroboam did, thinking that, well, maybe God will perform part of the word he promised and not all of it. No, 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 no. You won't receive anything from the Lord that way. That's what the Bible says. But if you come knowing that, yes, my help will come from the Lord, you can continue to read the story of Jeroboam, of Hezekiah, when you go home and see how the Lord delivered him out of that. But when we come to the Lord, we must come with one mind, knowing that the Lord is going to do what he promised in his word. Which brings me to think of the Syrophoenician woman in the Bible, which came to the Lord Jesus. She had a daughter that was very sick, vexed with a devil, the Bible says. And she came to Jesus. This woman, if you read this story, it's in the book of Matthew chapter 15, if you find time, you find that she came to Jesus without a backup plan. She came with one mind. She knew that my help is going to come from Jesus. And she came to Jesus and said, maybe we should read that story. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 from verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. That alone is enough to discourage someone. If you ring me looking for help and I don't answer the phone, that alone is enough for you not to phone me back. You'd say, I would rather ring Brother Pele. This is the problem with Brother Wilmore. When I need help, he never answers the phone. That alone was enough for this woman to be discouraged. But if you look, she was not discouraged by this because she had no other plan. She knew that this is the man that must help me. Even if he doesn't answer me, I'm going to keep asking. That's the attitude we must come to God with. That yes, he is going to help me, God. I'm going to ask. If he doesn't answer me, I'm going to keep asking until he answers. That's perseverance. That's what this woman did. And he says, he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Send this woman away. You come to my house seeking for help, and my wife comes on the side. Said, send him out. He's giving us trouble here, you know. Or you go to a government department, you are looking for some papers, and you're trying to present your case, and one of the people comes and says, please call security to send this man or woman out. We can't. It would discourage you. And you'd actually leave and say, especially us people who are of dark skin. And you go to an office and there's white people there and they say, call security to throw this man out. You'd come out there saying, racists, racists. Or if it's the other way around, you'd say, racists. And this woman was also of Canaan. She wasn't a Jew. She would have said the same thing, but she didn't, because she knew that my only help comes from here. I don't have a backup plan. Amen. And I'm going to keep asking until I get it. Amen. And they besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Then came she and worshipped him. You see, it's always something about worship. When you come and worship God, there's always something about it. And said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. These were very hard words. It would have discouraged even somebody with a backup plan. It would have discouraged a lot of people. But this woman, because she knew that this is the only place where I'm going to get help, she never let that discourage her, which is like many of us here. when we have things that we need the Lord to answer us on. Many times we would come and pray and it doesn't seem like he's answering us on time. But it should never discourage us. You should just keep asking him. He says it in another parable of the evil judge, of the woman that kept coming to that evil judge. Please help me, please help. And he would not, until one day he said, even though I don't fear God, but because this woman keeps troubling me, I'm just going to give her a request. And this was a parable that Jesus told. What? And he says, consider that evil judge, that he came to that conclusion. What about you and you have a righteous judge? That if you go to him and he doesn't answer you today, you go to him tomorrow. Brother Branham speaks of the man who was seeking the Holy Spirit. And he says, and he went into a field and kneeled down in the field and said, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. If you don't give me, when you come back, you are going to find a pile of bones here. That man meant business. He was down. He wasn't double-minded to say, well, if the Lord, I'm going to go fasting and praying next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, because on Thursday I've got some things that I want to. No, 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 no. Once you decide and determine upon something, Lord, I'm coming. You go in the room. I'm not coming out until you answer my request. Until, not to say, well, until next week, Wednesday. Until you answer. That's what that man did. That I'm not leaving this field. When you come back, you're going to find a pile of bones. That's a man that was steadfast. He wasn't serving two masters, as Jesus said. That you can't serve two masters. Many times it's because we trust in the things that we have. When we go to pray, you are praying, Lord, please, I need this. But you are also trusting in your own abilities. That if he doesn't answer me, I'm just going to do it my way anyhow. You might not as well ask him. It's better you just put into plan your own plan instead of coming to God like that. Because the Bible says a double-minded person will not receive anything from the Lord. Just to finish with this story of the woman. And he answered and said to her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. Isn't that a good testimony? Wouldn't you want tonight to come to a place like that where you would pray unto God, just as the musicians come, to pray unto God, to say, Lord, answer me on this one. I don't have any other plan. My help comes only from you. Like the woman that came and asked from God, even though she was disappointed, even though she kept going, she kept getting disappointed with the disciples sending her back and things like that. But no, she wasn't discouraged. She was perseverant. She had no backup plan. She had to get her help from the Lord. That's how we must come to God. We must come to him knowing he only is going to help us. Not to come with your own idea to say, well, if he doesn't help me, maybe this and that, I'll do this and that to make a solution out of it. We must come to God with one mind. Let's sing one song.
If I leave the holy land, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me, yes, for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me, yes, for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me, yes, for me. I know the Lord. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord
make a way for me, yes, for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Yes, for me. Just to say again, in the story of the young child that goes to your father to ask, to say, Daddy, can you buy me something? And the father would give his word and said, yes, I will. But for us as the children of God, it's different. It's better than that. Because God has already said that he will, before we even ask of anything. So what more confidence could we have? We should have even greater confidence than the child that asks of the father. Because God has already promised. And we have already seen him. Fulfilling already a major part of his promises. These are the things that we are asking for. Some are asking for healing of the body, and some are asking for jobs. Some are asking for prayer. I'm not sure for what here, brother. Or he's asking for prayer here. Yeah? But God has already done a greater work in us, much greater than the things that we are asking for. Imagine how you and me, many of us were born down there in Africa, grew up worshipping idols. But God moved mountains to send even the message down to Africa for you and for me. Isn't that a greater thing than the healing that we are asking tonight? It's a greater thing than the job that we are asking tonight. So we should have more confidence tonight when we go before him to ask for our petitions. Let's just sing again one chorus, brother.
You are Alpha
and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha.
Just as Hezekiah done when he went to the house of the Lord. First he worshipped the Lord. He gave him praise. Let's just continue singing.
We gave you all the glory.
Just worship him where you are in your way.
you don't know what to say, you can even just clap hands to him. Whatever in your way, you just worship God tonight. Let's just worship him in this time. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Father. We glorify your name. Lord, you alone are worthy to be worshipped. Father, we glorify your name and lift it up above all other names, Lord. For we acknowledge, Lord, that our help comes only from you, O Father. Oh God, without you, where would we be? Father, you alone are God. And Father, you live from everlasting unto everlasting. And we want to worship you, Lord, and give you glory tonight, Lord. For you alone are God.
Amen, Lord. We pray for your people, Lord, that could not be with us tonight. Lord, we commit them to you, every one of them, and give you, Lord, unto them, Lord. Father, Lord, may you be with them, Lord, that you'd watch over them, Lord, and watch over them, Father. We just commit them to you, Lord, wherever they are. Lord, we pray you be with them and bless them until we meet again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this night, for the prayer, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, which makes all things plain before us, Lord. Father, we are thankful. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of prayer requests here. One from Brother David is asking for prayer, if the saints could remember him. And another one from Brother George is asking for prayer concerning an application for a job. And they send him a job specification, which so many pages and so many words, so big words, just like the letter that was sent to Hezekiah. But we are trusting in a God in which all things are possible. And we have brought that letter with us here, and we are spreading it before the Lord tonight and asking him that his way may be done. For God can open doors that no man can close. Amen. Things that we think are impossible, they are possible with God. So we just want to pray and commit our brother into the hands of the Lord. Even the way he got his first job, it was really God's grace. Amen. And if God did it then, he can do it again. I remember he did it for me. I went for an interview and I failed the interview. And I so much wanted that job. And they told me that I failed. They were someone more experienced. And they called me for a lesser job. I went, but my heart was not in it. And I also failed that second job. And so one day I phoned them and said, please, can you tell me why I didn't get both of the jobs? And they didn't respond to me. And then they phoned me back to say, ah, Wilmo, are you ready to start Monday? I said, start Monday. I was very happy, and I thought it was for the lesser job. So I phoned later to say, which job is this that you are offering me? They said, no, the first one that you came for the interview for, the one that I had failed. So I failed that job, but it was God who moved things. Because later when I went into that place to work, I discovered that they wanted two people. And they got two people, and those people, they worked only for 1 week, and they left the place. And another person who was there also left, and they needed people like tomorrow, like it was Friday, and they needed people for Monday. That's why they rang me. So nothing is limited with God. He can do anything, and nobody can tell him how to do it. So we are believing tonight that all help comes from him. If anybody is looking for a job here, even a better job. Because I don't think it's in God's will to give someone a job that keeps him from church.
Amen.
I think that God wants us to worship him. Amen. And he wants to give us jobs which will enable us to come to Wednesday service.
Amen.
To come to Friday service.
Amen.
To meet with the saints on Saturday. And to come to church on Sunday. This is his will, that we should gather as often as we meet. So if we ask God in that way, that Lord, may you please grant me a job. A job that will not keep me from work, from church, from meeting with the saints. Even when we go out in the streets to testify to the people, you don't want to be saying, I can't come, I'm at work. You want to be together with the saints. For it is good for the saints to be together. So let's ask God for a job for our brother,
or for any brother or sister that is caught up in a job that keeps you away from church. I would never want a job like that. I would rather not work. So please, let's pray and ask God. I know He can grant it because He granted it for me. So let us pray and commit our brother, even Brother David, into prayer, and also remember to thank him for what he did for Brother Vladimir. If you are not in that situation, many times you don't know how difficult it is to have children, three of them in the house, and there's no heating, there's no hot water. It is not an easy situation, but God always does things for the glory of his name, and we glorify him tonight that he did it for our brother. Let's pray once again as we... Amen. Brother George has also requested from his landlord a certain letter that he needs, but the landlord has not responded. We'll pray again tonight for him that the Lord would put it in the heart of the landlord to respond. For we know that God can change the heart of a person. He can turn the heart of a king. He can turn the heart of a landlord. So we pray tonight that even for our brother, Brother George has used his house in such a way that honors God. And it's so close to church, ministering to the saints that live far when they come and they go to his house for food. I think that it is pleasing to the Lord the way he uses his house. If we pray and ask the Lord, please, Lord, if you could just move things for our brother in this way, believing that only God can answer. Let us commit all these requests into the hands of the Lord. Heavenly Father, once more, Lord, we come before you, thanking you, Lord, for you are merciful. We thank you, Father, for you are, Lord, oh God, our help. All our help comes from you, Lord. Father, we look up to you tonight, believing upon your word, for it says, what two or three people agree on earth, it shall be done for them even in heaven. Lord, we come with the request from our brother David, asking, Lord, that you be glorified in every one of them. I thank you, Father, tonight. I glorify your name, Lord, as we commit all these requests into your hands. May you be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we grow, we will sing again. Just another song, brother.
Every promise in the book is mine.
Every chapter,
every verse,
and every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book,
every verse
in every line,
I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Amen. Just keep trusting in him, saints. The Lord is faithful. I've seen him do many things in my life. There's not a reason that I should doubt his word tonight. I'm sure you are the same. He has done many things for you. There's not a reason for you to doubt him, to make another plan for your request. Just believe that he will do it. And I know that God will do it. Brother Mike, if you don't mind, brother, to close for us in a word of prayer. That's fine, brother.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Mungu atatipa nthawe ni ya mazuru. Tika kukupe mpani. Mungu akale na afen. Mungu atidalise. inde mungu atate pali zambiri zimene satana ndilekezi akubwera ndi kutichinga koma inu mulungu atate ife timadalira kwa inu inu mulungu ndi mulungu amene mumamasula singa za satana ndilekezi inde mulungu atate inu munatilonjeza kuti china chichose chimene ife tizapempha kwa inu muzati pa satana ni inde panthawi inu bali athu brother George brother Vlad brother ma brothers osiana siana ma sisters osiana siana ndi mavuto osiana siana mulungu atate ose tikangwasia pansi pa mwazi wanu mungu atate mukangoti masula mukakhale nafe monga mmene mwayambira nafe mamawa kati tengeni pamuzi kati chose ndi mnyumba mwanu mungu atate kwabwereraso kunyumba popanda vutona lilose mukangokhala otitetezera ndikutiyang'anira kadalitseni banja linalilose kuchina chilichonse chimene iwo akafuna mungu atate kaperekeni popeza mungu atate ife timadalira kwa inu katamandikeni ndikakwezeka sesu kupempha vyote mudzina la mwana wanu Yesu Kristu amika amen
amen amen. Just remember service on Friday evening, same time as today, 7 o'clock. Amen.
Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Jesus' name and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, is an answering God. Hallelujah, is an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah! He's an answering God. Hallelujah! He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah. He's an answering God.